Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, today's beautiful in my neck of the woods. It's a nice sunny day. It's crisp out, not as cold, and I've been enjoying the sunshine as it's been coming into the window, through the window here in this little studio that I have. And I've been looking forward to today's show, as you know, each and every Wednesday for the past 40 weeks. It's going to be a year now that we've been talking about different kinds of portrayals of Jesus on the cinematic screen or on, you know, some form of media, video, audio. We started out talking about Joel Osteen's failed rubbish series on the life of Jesus, which was co-produced by the History Channel. And then we've been spending the rest of the time looking here at this Dallas at this Dallas Jenkins series, which in my opinion is worse than Joel Osteen's, worse. And I didn't think there could be anything worse than Joel Osteen's, but Sister AJ has hit a gold vein. You know, when you're mining for gold, you hope you strike a vein, And we have struck a vein here, and we've been doing one show after another, and it's just been very, very, very enlightening. I didn't know who Dallas Jenkins was. I have to be honest. I never heard of him before until Sister AJ started talking about him. And that's how it goes on these shows. There's a lot of things that Sister Marie and Sister AJ bring to the fore I never heard of. And blessed and educated by the ministry of these two sisters. So, listen, before I bring Sister AJ on, don't forget to pray for Brother Kevin Morris. He's got his challenges with bone cancer and diabetes. We also want to pray for Sister Irene Katowski, she's going through some challenges right now. So let's pray for her as they found in one of her X-rays or MRIs, they found a black spot which concerned the doctors. And she went for a consultation yesterday, and she's supposed to be going in for surgery. So at least that's what we believe the situation is. So we're praying for Sister Katowski, Irene Katowski, and Brother Kevin Morris. Also, we are praying for a young man by the name of Joshua who's been having some circulation problems in the legs, and it could be due to high blood pressure. So let's pray for Joshua. Praying for Joshua today. And if you have anyone you want us to pray for, send in the prayer request, and we will be happy to do so. Also, I started to pastor a little church out of great need. The church had a great need because they're down to 10 to 12 people. Nobody knows the real number, but they're down to a small group. And they put a little ad in the newspaper, and I responded to the ad. And I have to admit, I responded to the ad kind of selfishly because I said, if I get to pastor this church, well, there'll be a place for my wife and children to go. So I am pastoring the church, and we are starting to build from the ground up. And one of the things that we're doing is we're meeting Tuesdays on the phone for prayer. It's a conference call kind of thing. And yesterday we had a real, real meaningful prayer meeting. Now, what we do is we meet from 7 to 7:30 for training in Bible, in prayer, in revival. So there's a half hour of training from 7, 7:30. And then from 7:30 to 8:30 is just prayer. One person after another praying for different scriptures and praying for different needs that are presented. And we had a great, great, meaningful prayer meeting yesterday. I believe God heard and is about to answer our prayers. The prayer service is the lifeline to every believer. Every believer needs to pray. And your Christian life depends greatly upon your prayer life, because it's what connects you to your Heavenly Father. So if you don't have a church, or if you stop going to church and you want to be part of a prayer meeting where we're really praying for things, we're not just talking about prayer and talking a good talk. No, we're really praying. And there's people from different churches who call this line, different people from different Christian backgrounds, a lot of people church hurt, but they love the Lord. And they're not abandoning the church, and they know that we the people are the church. And this is why instead of meeting in a building, we're meeting on the phone. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So if you want to join us on Tuesdays and you want all the information on how to get connected, there's an email right here on this broadcast description. And you email me, and I'll tell you how to get connected on Tuesday night. It is fantastic. So God bless you on that note. And now let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Like I said, it's beautiful and sunny out. It's not as cold as it was, for all of this year. It's warm. It's a little warmer than what it was. And so I'm enjoying the warmer temperatures. Not that it's warm, but it's warmer, and it's more manageable.
Okay.
So, and how's the weather by
no
you?
No snow to shovel.
No, we got the snow really hard last Friday, into Saturday.
Okay.
I was buried in snow. But for this week, we get a respite. We get a respite for this
okay.
week. Yeah,
The weather here is good. It's a beautiful sunny day here. Temperatures are pretty good. It's a little cool, but I mean, if somebody is so inclined, they probably could manage to be outside with a t-shirt on. So
that's
the temperatures here. It's in the 60s today, I think.
Well, that's
but
good.
It's just
that's
a,
good.
A little coolness in the air, but not
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah. Hey, I saw something about Kanye, how he's mad and he's not taking it anymore and nobody's going to mess with his black kids. What's that about?
Kanye being Kanye. I hadn't seen that report, but, I mean, he's been going back and forth with Kim about not being or her trying to control his when he can see the kids and just different things that he's accusing them of. So I guess it's just the continuing saga of the divorce and custody and visitation and Kanye using it to his advantage, I guess, to get publicity. But if, like I said, if he keeps playing, Kim might say, well, he's crazy and apply for full custody, and then he won't get to be around him at all.
Right, and the thing
and
with
he,
full custody
and because
is...
Of his because of his track record, the judge might go for it.
Yeah, because he's been in the loony bin a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, listen, if you weren't crazy when you hooked up with the Kardashians, you will be at the end. if you came in crazy already, you're going to leave super crazy.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yes,
and
he was already a little off, but he wasn't this bad.
right. See, and maybe he should say to Kim, perhaps you haven't noticed, but I am the greatest artist Jesus ever created. And maybe that might get her back to him. Because he said that at Joel Osteen's church or something of that nature.
Yeah. Well, Kim has made it clear that the Christian stuff is his journey, not hers. So I don't think that'll work.
Right. Well, again, I've listened to some of his songs. I can't listen. I'm not a Kanye aficionado. But the songs that I have listened to, they have given me a splitting headache. So I don't know what talent he's talking about. I honestly don't know. Maybe, when it comes to that kind of music, I'm an ignoramus. And I would, definitely would not be hurt by that. You know, someone said, when it comes to this kind of music, you're a moron. I would say, okay, whatever. but there's one thing I do know about, and that's talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he's no Nat King Cole, let me tell you.
No, not even close.
No, he's no Nat King Cole. He's no Sammy Davis Jr. He ain't no Harry Belafonte. He's no Sidney Poitier. No. He's just crazy is what he is.
He's not even a Michael Jackson.
Right.
Not
exactly.
A crazy part maybe, but, even when Michael decided to really sing, he could sing. Kanye,
correct.
Nah.
Right. So, yeah. Mm-mm. No. He's delusional, but I got to tell you, he's going to be paying through the nose with them babies. He's going to be paying through the nose.
He's got four of them.
Yep. Oh, that's big money. If I was him, I would buy a little parcel of land, like 4 acres, and put a little wood cabin in there and get myself a little wood stove, right? I would get myself a little bicycle. I'll get myself a little 5 or 10 speed bicycle, get a little plot of land, build an outhouse, have a one room cabin with a little wood stove, and say, this is all I'm going to be able to afford after Kim gets through with me.
Right.
Because that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
She's gonna bleed him.
Kanye's trying to play the race card, but it's not going to work.
No. He wasn't playing the race card when they got together. He wasn't playing that card.
Nope.
So it don't work. It just don't work. It's like LeBron James. Can LeBron James play the race card? No. You can't play the race. No, not after
tried a few times.
Right. No, not after you made all that money. You can't play the race card then. No.
Mm-mm.
No, you that's silly. That's silly. That's just stupid. But, you know, Pete Davidson, he's having fun, and that must be eating Kanye alive.
Yes.
Especially if you buy a house right across the street.
Yeah, he did. That's creepy stalker behavior.
And listen, the reason why we bring this up, it's not because we're into gossip or we're into rap music or I'm into the Kardashians. We don't bring it up because of that. We bring it up because it wasn't too long ago the so-called evangelical church was vouching for this nut.
Yes, indeed.
Right? Joel Osteen had him at his church and given him, a few services. And he's been all over. And that guy Adam, what's that guy's name? Adam what?
Adam Tyson.
Adam
and
Tyson,
he's under
right.
John MacArthur, professor at the Masters University.
Oh my goodness!
Whatever. So
you wouldn't.
We
listen.
Haven't heard a peep from them those guys over these latest developments.
Listen to me, and look. I'm all for Christian education. I'm all for it. But don't go into debt going into seminary. Don't do it. Don't listen. Don't take student loans to go to some seminary. You're wasting your money. You're just wasting your money. If you're going to sit under Adam Tyson as your professor, you need to have your head checked out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You listen. I'm not blaming John MacArthur. I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming the institution. You can't blame the institution and the professors. But seminaries and colleges now have become a joke. You had
Many
Liberty
of them
University.
Have been leavened.
Right. You look at Liberty University with Falwell, right? Young Falwell.
Mm-hmm.
He brought in Paula White and her husband to speak to the young people there. Then he was just kicked out, bought out, because he's a dirty guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, you look at Francis Chan, a product of the Master's College. What good is that guy? Somebody tell me.
He's an apostate, too, apparently.
Right. And see, here's the thing. I believe that an institution, and I believe this is where MacArthur failed, in my opinion. The same way he can get into the pulpit and say Joel Osteen is a New Age teacher or whatever, he should do the same thing with Francis Chan. He should say, listen, he's a graduate of our school, but he went off. Now, I don't know if he's done that, but I don't think he has. Because if
you have
don't,
to dig through some of his sermons to find it, but I haven't actually seen an official statement from him on these things.
Right. So, no, you have to distance yourself from people. You just have to say, no, I'm not part of this. I'm not part of that. I'm not, you know. And see, that's one of my reasons why I don't join any of these particular groups.
Right.
Because somewhere along the line, they take a stand on some issues and then they fail to take a stand on other issues.
Mm-hmm.
See, it for me, it's troublesome that you can speak out against Joel Osteen, who didn't graduate from your school, but not speak out against Francis Chan, who did.
Right.
See, I think you owe the Christian world an exhortation on the fact that Francis Chan graduated from your school. Now that's just me. That's just me. So if you go around saying, you know, you came to my church and I was your pastor and you start running crazy with the Catholics, wait a minute. Here comes a disclaimer. You know a disclaimer's coming.
Exactly.
No.
That's
no,
right.
No, no.
This
no.
is not how he was taught.
No, exactly. Exactly, and I think that protects the institution too, the credibility of the institution, because people are going to be saying, "Wait a minute, this guy Adam Tyson, he's a professor at your school, and he's running with nutty Kanye."
Right, and he couldn't see a problem with some of the stuff that was going on with Kanye even back then.
No, again. That's why I'll probably be a Long Ranger until the day I die. because I cannot defend, see, I can't defend other people's silence. See, I mean, I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, at some
I
point
agree.
In time, you got to say, we're going to have to take a stand on this, or we're going to have to, and listen, I know that we need to work with other believers that are not of the same doctrinal persuasion as I am. Listen, if you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, I'll work with you. I'm going to work. I believe that the church goes through the tribulation, right? That's my personal belief, that I believe that we go through the seven-year tribulation. Okay. You believe that we get taken out of here 7 years before, you don't go through 7 years, and God takes you soon? Not a problem. I'll work with you. Or even if you say, you know, we get raptured right in the middle, 3.5 years. Okay, I'll work with you. Because that's not an essential. See, what is an essential is this. An essential is we both believe in the resurrection. And another essential is we both believe in the rapture. That's the essential part. When it happens, there's been debates, right? I mean, and there's all kinds of great arguments on all three sides for a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, and a post. There's guys with all kinds of Bible verses, and they'll present to you their argument. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, okay, brother, you still believe your view, I got my view. You didn't change my mind, I didn't change your mind. Let's love the Lord. But there's a difference between that and embracing and kissing Catholics and saying we're on the same team. There we have a problem. See?
Or Mormons in the case of Dallas Jenkins saying that
Correct.
We love the same Jesus.
Right.
I suppose
exactly.
that Dallas and the Mormons love the Jesus that he's made up, but they don't
right.
love the real Jesus.
Correct.
They
Correct.
Love
Jink.
They love Jink and Jesus.
Right. See, if you want to speak in tongues, if you're that person, like I belonged, I was ordained by the Church of God in Christ from Cleveland, Tennessee. I was ordained by them. I have several ordinations, but when I was working with their churches, I had to be ordained from them. One of the things that they teach, which I don't agree with, but it's what they teach, is that the initial evidence of you being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, they don't believe you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I can show them from Scripture that that's not the case, but that was the denominational line. I went in three times for ordination, and, you know, it was an oral examination when they, of course, you bought the binder, and the, you had to read the history, and, you know, you had to be familiar with the history of the church and all that, and they ask all kinds of oral questions, and okay. But when it always got to that question, they failed me. They said, Brother Torres, we'll see you next year. Not a problem. Not a problem. Okay, I'll see you next year because they give you a do-over the year later.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they did it. So in the third year, I said no again. And then they said, can you give us 5 minutes? Can you leave the room and can you give us 5 minutes and come back? And so I went outside into the hallway, and the three guys were talking among themselves. And then they said, Brother Torres, you can come back in. And I went back in. And then they said, listen, we know that this is an issue with you. You know, you're a wonderful teacher, a wonderful pastor. The church that you have, you know, it has grown exponentially. And we're just going to ordain you. We're just going to overlook this.
Okay.
See, now I wasn't gonna change my conviction, and they weren't gonna change theirs. So what did we do? We agreed to disagree and continue to serve the Lord. But now we're not. See, our difference was not on universalism. I wasn't teaching that there was no hell, and they were teaching that there was. See, so there's some doctrines that are essential. And there are some non-essentials.
Right.
So you want to speak in tongues and you want to believe that that's the initial. Knock yourself out. Go have a great time. Go do it. Right? I mean, I'm not. It's not going to bother me. But there are some things that we need to agree on so that we can fellowship. And you know, so if you don't agree on those essential doctrines, we're done. We're done.
Right.
Like, for example, I cannot go and worship at Bethel Church over there in Redding, California, wherever it's located. I could not go there and worship. You're not going to find me and Kat Kerr doing a conference together or me and Jennifer LeClaire doing a conference. That's not going to happen.
Right.
See? So there are some people that I can fellowship with because we have differences on the non-essentials. And we have no differences on the essentials. And so, with Tyson and all that crowd, I would not waste a dime going to school today. I wouldn't waste a dime or time. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because, listen, you want to graduate from the same school that Francis Chan did?
No, I don't, because people can dig up that stuff and use it against you too.
I just believe that the model of seminaries and Bible, that's all now outdated. When you come full circle, I just think. Look at all the ministers. Let's be real. Let's look at all the ministers that America has produced. All of these graduates from Dallas Theological Seminary, what have they done? What have they done?
Not a whole lot.
There you go.
A lot of these places have been so leavened and contaminated with various things until it's hard to trust them now.
Right. Absolutely. It's just, you know, you couldn't send me for free to Oral Roberts University. I wouldn't go. That name alone. That name alone, if you said to me, we're going to give your four kids scholarships to all Roberts universities, I would say, no, thank you.
No. Well, look at not only Oral Roberts, you got Carlton Pearson and and Miles Monroe and a whole bunch of these heretics that have come out of there.
Right.
Joel Osteen's
right.
dad used to be, and Oral Roberts were good friends.
Right. Right. And you know, listen, you know any day now.
Went there for a semester or two, I think.
You know any day now, they're going to be giving Joel Osteen an honorary doctorate. Any day now.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sad. Sad. But, yeah. Look, Jerry Jenkins, I mean, would you read anything that Jerry Jenkins would, knowing what he's doing now, and they said, here's a new series of books from Jerry Jenkins. Would you read that?
I would say no, thank you.
No, thank you. See, by joining his son, he's destroyed whatever credibility he had. I'm sorry. Now, I was not a fan.
That's only with us haters. Now, other people may still like him.
Sure. And
I've seen people with that Chosen novel that he wrote.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
When I was out and about, I've seen them.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, there you go. Listen, I was not a fan of the eschatology system of the Left Behind series because that's mm-hmm.
it's a pre-trib rapture,
right? So I said, a group of students gave me the tape series, so I would put it in the car when I had long drives and all. I would put it, and it was entertaining. I got to tell you, it was entertaining. But you knew it was mm-hmm. bogus. You knew that none of that was going to happen. But now, no. Don't give me anything of it. Listen, on a cold winter, if you give me a stack of his books, they're going in the furnace to warm me up. That's where they're going.
But so do you think Dallas is worse than his father and what he's done? Because you might not agree with Jerry's eschatology, but as far as I can tell, he didn't do violence to the character and nature of the Lord in those books. But this series, my goodness.
No, this is horrible. I'm going off of memory. In church history, in early church history up to the 5th century, I believe that there were 4 different church councils that came together. And each one of those 4 councils came to debate some heresy about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when Satan chooses to attack the Godhead, he doesn't go after the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't go after God the Father. All the heresies are about the person and work of Jesus Christ. So here is Dallas, again, like you said, assaulting the Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going for Jesus. And that makes him an antichrist.
Yep.
See, that's what, and he's got the spirit of Antichrist running through his veins. He's got it. He is an Antichrist. He is rewriting who Jesus is. And
mm-hmm.
don't tell me, we're just taking liberties, but the Bible is the authority. No, the Bible, people don't read their Bibles. They're going to your show thinking that that's the Bible.
Or when they go back and pull up the scriptures, they look at it based on the show because they see these characterizations as Jesus's real personality and what he did and the apostles as well, but mainly he assaults Jesus. It's right. a direct attack on him.
Right. Now, think about this. Here's John the Baptist. And he's saying, hey, man, you got to put Herod in his place. And Jesus says, nah, man, don't go there. That's not my agenda. What?
Right. I'm about more than just talking about breaking rules. Huh? What? That's
exactly.
breaking God's law. Not
right.
just some man-made rules. That's adultery that they were committing.
Correct. And to see John
that's
and
what,
Jesus
that's
going
one
at
of
it.
The thou shalt, that's one of the thou shalt nots, isn't it?
Right, right. So, no, this is, and of course, you know, hey, the Mormons got multiple wives, so Dallas doesn't want Jesus talking about, he doesn't want Mormon Jesus talking about Herod's multiple wives, because
right.
that's what the Mormons have.
Right. And now, of course, we know this conversation never took place, but the point is Dallas is depicting this as Jesus doesn't really care about sin. That's the bottom line of the first part of this conversation we've listened to, is if he's not interested and he's passing it off as, well, you know, people always been interested in the romantic lives of kings, sort of like today where we kind of look at people love to hear about what celebrities are doing, but
right
come on
right
Jesus would have, even if this conversation did take place, the Lord would have never said that, and plus John wouldn't have been talking to the Lord the way he does in this show.
Right, right.
He was
right.
He's very disrespectful of him.
Absolutely.
Basically calling him a coward.
Exactly.
How come you're always running off when you do miracles?
Right, right. Yeah, this is, again, this is an assault on Jesus.
It
now,
is.
Of course, Dallas doesn't make it look like, no, Dallas, see, This is how sneaky Dallas is. Dallas wants people to think he's elevating Jesus.
He calls him an authentic Jesus.
Right.
You
but
hear
he,
that
but,
word all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that whole little wristband thing, dare to be different. Or, you know, mm-hmm. What is it? Difference is here now or something, some baloney.
Get used to different.
Yeah, get used to difference. Yeah, okay, buddy. Sure.
I wonder, yeah. is he going to be able to use that one before the Lord someday?
Yeah, you know, I was sharing on Monday when people will say, you know, Jesus said, and many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
And then I prophesied in your name. Then I do this in your name, and you know, and like the and
I
like
brought,
and like
I brought
the,
my five fishes or my five loaves and my two fish, Lord.
Right, right. And Jesus will say, depart. And listen, it's again. This is money. Look, just look at a ministry and say, how much money are they bringing in? Just ask the question. Okay, for example, this little ministry here, we're not concerned with money. We're concerned with bringing in souls.
Mm-hmm.
Other ministries are concerned with bringing in money. Our focus is souls, touching people, getting people turned around, getting people out of those bad churches, other people's ministry. When you watch George Blumer, he's got Wolf Ecology Monday through Friday, right? George Blumer.
Right.
One day, Mondays
yes.
is Relationship Monday. Tuesdays is something else. Listen, you watch him. I challenge anybody to stomach this guy and just watch him for a week. And every day it's about, he's got seven
Cha-ching.
Different categories of offerings. And it's
George
all about
George knows
souls.
How to hustle up some money now.
That's it. That's it. That's it. It's not about people. And listen, money Yes, there's a role for money in ministry, but the focus is people.
Mm-hmm.
People. And you look, John the Baptist, there's not one record, there's not one verse that says John the Baptist ever got an offering to go do missions. He never raised a missions mm-hmm. offering. You know what he did? He just went and did the mission. That's all he did.
Right.
That's what he did. You see, and then we have these people saying support missions, and they're giving out envelopes and support this and support. And they're using the money. The missionaries don't even see it.
Or they send them a little bit of the money, but they keep the rest of it.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Yep, it's a joke. So, yeah, Dallas, you know, he's going to have a lot to say before Jesus. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to answer to a lot.
And even if Dallas manages to repent of these things, you're still heartbroken over the people that he's influenced. Millions all over the world.
The damage is done. It's done. And here's the thing. Again, I go back to the teaching I was doing on Monday. Here's a guy who is following the world system,
mm-hmm.
right? Chasing Hollywood. He's chasing fame. He's chasing money. I mean, he's, you know, and look, listen, I would love to be on 600 radio stations. Me personally, I would love to be on 600 radio stations, but you know what? I don't have the means. So what do I got to do? I got to go to Block Talk Radio, okay? And that's it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I would
right.
like to have more. I would like to impact more people's lives, but I'm not going to prostitute myself so that
mm-hmm.
I can get on those 600 stations.
Right.
Who's doing that?
Because what do you got to do to get on those stations if you don't have
oh,
the
my
means
goodness.
To buy your own way in? So,
oh,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Right.
Listen, I was telling you about Greg Laurie, right, during Christmas time. You know, I only get a few
yes.
channels here in the country. So they have this Mars Hill Network. And there's this guy named Greg Laurie who I don't know anything about. I mean, you filled me in. You told me a few things about him. I don't know much about him. And he's offering the Chosen series for Christmas. Now,
right.
he has to do that because he has to have product to sell so that he can pay for
yes.
his airtime. See, I ain't
right.
doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm just not. I'm not selling Jesus junk just to get on the air and spend – the show is a half hour, so I got to spend 15 minutes talking about Jesus junk just so that I can speak another – no, I ain't doing – forget that. That's too much trouble.
And the Chosen is worse than Jesus junk. If he's selling the DVDs, oof.
Right. That's it. And like you said, the Mormons are getting a cut of that. And out of
yes,
that,
they are.
The Mormon church gets a cut because they're tied into the Mormon church.
That's right.
So, this is just sad. And you're going to have to answer to the Lord Jesus. You're going to have to answer. And look, you're messing with Jesus. Oh, my goodness, you're messing with Jesus.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes, he is.
But he got it. I have to give it to Pope Francis. He gave him a good scolding when he called him Judas. Oh, I enjoyed
that
so much.
Funny. That was so funny. I guess the devil recognizes his own.
That's it. That's it. Because the devil, the Pope pointed to him and says, and you're Judas.
Right. He could have said anybody, but he
right.
said Judas. And
that's
not,
right.
I mean, it's two Judases, but we knew which one he meant.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Dallas said, no, 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 not me, not me, not me. I'm just the producer.
Yes.
No, you, brother, you the Judas.
Yes, you. Absolutely. You sold
Amazing.
Jesus out for money. The real Jesus, not Jenkins Jesus.
Correct. All right, so we were looking at Simon
we're
the Zealot
on.
And his brother, right?
Yes, episode 5 is what we started on last week, and of the Chosen, which has a bunch of different things thrown in here. But yes, Simon is related allegedly, and according to Dallas, to the man
mm-hmm.
who was healed at the pool of Bethesda. And once
right.
Simon found out about that miracle that his brother was healed, he saw his brother and talked to him, and now he's looking to join up with Jesus. And so
mm-hmm.
we kind of left off at that. And then this conversation with John the Baptist, between John the Baptist and the Lord, which we know never took place, but it's just one of the craziest things
mm-hmm.
yet in this series.
Right.
So we left off, and they were kind of in the middle of that conversation. Now, you said you would start it at the 16-minute mark. Now, if you want to go back to the beginning of Jesus and John's conversations, then I can let you know where that mark is if you want to, or
yeah,
just continue
do
from
that.
Where we left.
Let's do
okay,
that. Okay, so let me bring the cursor over here. Okay, so what season are we in again? I'm sorry. Season 2, right?
Season 2, right.
Okay, Season 2, all right. Let me click on there. Okay, and we're on episode
5,
okay.
The one called Spirit.
Okay,
and
now
you
why
just
am
put
I...
your cursor on the picture.
Okay, they took me back to season 1. All right, let me go here. Season 2. All right, let me go back to season. Okay, I don't know why I'm season 1. Okay, let's
sometimes
see.
Yeah. It does
okay.
that.
Okay, season 2. Okay. Okay, Spirit. Okay, here we go. And where do you want me to start it at?
For the beginning of the conversation is at
yeah.
14:48, or as close as you can get to that mark.
Okay. All right, here we go. We're almost there. All right, set it up for the brothers here and what we were talking about.
Well, as I stated, we've made references to John the Baptist coming to see the Lord Jesus and trying to encourage him to get out there more and be more confrontational and revolutionary like him and stop running away every time he does a miracle, that sort of thing. And John also informs the Lord Jenkins Jesus anyway about the fact he's getting ready to go and to confront Herod about his adultery with his brother's wife. So that's what they're going back and forth about here in this scene we're about to see.
Yes. Okay, here it is.
It is right there in the book of Moses. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness, and they shall be childless.
I understand this against the law of Moses, but I'm here for bigger purposes than the breaking of rules.
You minimize incest?
Of course not.
What of the laws of Moses will be minimized?
All of this will be addressed. I'm not ready to get into the specifics.
You appear to be not ready to get into the specifics of a lot of things. For instance,
stay on topic. The romantic lives of rulers and kings has been and always will be of enormous fascination to people. It was covered at length in Torah. I don't see why you feel the need to focus on it
the
now.
The client king, or tetrarch, or whatever, he's one of us, and he's unlawful. I am not afraid of him. He may not be as bad as his father, but he is still bad.
I'm going to march straight into his court, and I'm going to tell him to his face. My followers will love it.
You do know how that's going to end, don't you?
I get arrested all the time. It's what radicals do. I'll be fine. Herod is afraid of me. The people hold me to be a prophet. Some say Elijah himself.
Well, maybe not the Elijah, but we both know of the Elijah-ness of your role.
Do we? Because I'm beginning to wonder why you're taking this so slow.
This sounds to me like the conversation that Larry King was having with Joel Osteen, where Larry King sounded like John the Baptist and Joel Osteen sounded like this Jesus.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly,
you know,
what he sounds like.
Right? I mean, you know, John the Baptist is saying, hey, get with the program. You know, we're supposed to be God's representatives, and what are you doing? Dude,
mm-hmm.
get with the program. What's the matter with you?
Like he said, he's calling the Lord a coward.
Right. Right. And here's Jesus like, no, man, I'm not into breaking rules. Who said sin was breaking rules? You see how they redefine things?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's minimizing what Herod did, like it's
right.
not important for him enough for him to deal with. But Jesus is God, so why wouldn't that be important to him? I mean, I know this conversation never took place, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Of
no, no, listen.
It's important.
Right. If this Jesus cannot be God because God is holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
Right? And, I mean, think about it. This is the holy Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. And he's calling sins broken rules.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And just dismissing people, the talk, if there's gossip or whatever about Herod, Jesus is just saying, well, you know, that people always been interested in what kings are doing. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, this is, again, this is not the Jesus of Scripture. This
no,
is
it's
a,
not.
This is a
because
calculating.
Go ahead, sir. I was just going to say Jesus started preaching repentance the same as John after he was baptized and began his ministry. What did he
right.
say? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He may
correct.
Not have said it directly to Herod, but that's what he was preaching.
Right. Yeah, this Jesus here, this is not Jesus. This is a clown. This is what this is. This is not the Lord. In fact, let me just take people to the book of Malachi. So we can see the connection between Jesus and John the Baptist. So let's go to the last book of the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament. So we can see the relationship, how Jesus and John the Baptist worked together and how they had the same message. Okay. And that's found in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3. Starting at verse 1. We're not going to read tithing. Don't worry, folks. Don't hang up. We're not going to be talking about the tithe and the windows of heaven. No.
Shall
we ain't
a
going
man
there.
Rob God?
No. We're not going there. We're not going there. So Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So notice, John the Baptist and Jesus work hand in hand. John the Baptist is the messenger who prepares the way, then Jesus will show up, right? Okay, verse 2.
Right.
But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So when Jesus comes, he's coming to clean the place up. That's what refining is.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking out the purifications. He's also like a bar of soap who does a whole load of laundry, who takes dirty stuff and turns it white. So Jesus mm-hmm. didn't come to just look at the dirty clothes and say, well, they're just dirty clothes.
Right.
No, it says when he comes, who may abide the day of his coming? For he shall stand when he appeared, for he is like a refiner's fire, like full of soap. He's coming to clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole notion about Jesus is uninterested with sin, that's not the Jesus of Malachi 3 or the Jesus of the Gospels. I mean, why did Jesus overturn the tables? Why did he go into his house and overturn the tables? There's a reason for that.
Because that's right.
But here, Dallas makes him like, nah, John, man, keep it cool, John, man. Don't listen. I may run for office. I may run for political. You know, I'm taking the polls, and the polls say right now, you know, I can get voted in.
Like he's gonna run for the high priest position someday.
You know, no, a prophet doesn't care about the polls. The prophet doesn't care about who
mm-hmm.
likes who. His concern is, thus saith the Lord.
That's
and this
right.
is supposed to be the living word. John the Baptist is speaking to Jesus, the Logos, the living word. The word and the word doesn't know the word? What? No. This is crazy.
And mind you, John was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. So he knows who Jesus, the real John the Baptist knew, put it that
right.
way.
Right. And John the Baptist wasn't concerned about whether some people were calling him Elijah. No. That's nonsense, too.
Right. Or how
well,
much his disciples were going to right. love him confronting Herod.
Right. No, this is... You do what you do because God sends you, not because of people or it will garner you support or whatever. You do what you do
right.
because God put a word in your mouth and you got to go declare it. Okay.
That's right.
Why are you always running away after performing miracles? Tell me, why do you always go off to these desolate places?
I need solitude. I'm working on something.
Here's a doozy. Here's a doozy. Well, listen to this.
A sermon. A big one.
Oh. You're the planning type. I would say the first thing that comes to my mind, in preaching and in life.
Yes, I remember from the time you started talking. And I heard about that brood of vipers comment. That was classy. Do you know how the poets say vipers are born?
Yes, they hatch inside their mothers and eat their way out, killing their mothers in the process. I thought it was a pretty good line.
Yes, but no one wants to be accused of killing their ima.
Yeah, well, I'm not here to make friends with religious leaders. And judging by that stunt you pulled on the Sabbath, neither are you. Are you really going to be nice to these people?
I suppose not. Just be careful.
Now is not the time to be careful. 30 years you've been here.
David was a shepherd and in the wilderness and on the run for 30 years before he became king.
Yes, and then he ruled for 40 years. He killed a bunch of people, made horrible mistakes, and then he died in bed with a teenager he was not married to.
Maybe not the best analogy, but also she was there to keep him warm.
I know.
Everyone knows.
I know. I know what you mean. What I'm saying is, taking all this time, telling all these stories. I must confess, I'm eager for you to get to the point.
Look, I'm going to tell stories that make sense to some people, but not to others. And that's just how it's going to be.
I get it. It's not like I'm preaching stories for children either. It's becoming real, isn't it? Everything we've prepared for.
It is.
I mean, it's always been real, but it's one thing to preach about it, to hear my Abba's prophecy growing up and your Ima's song. But it's heavy when it becomes real, no? Do you feel ready?
I'm always ready to do my Father's will. But that doesn't make it easy.
Listen, I was rude to you before. But it's only because we go back so far and I can tease a bit. But you know that my heart is yours. My life is yours. The sole reason why I was miraculously conceived by two old people was to pave the way for you. I'm just impatient for you to get to work.
I understand. And I'm grateful for your part. You have done God's work, albeit in a unique way. Guilty as charged. Yeah, it's perhaps a poor choice of words. Perhaps.
Wow. What rubbish.
Indeed. Take
all the film and throw it in the garbage.
Yes. Now, Jesus was talking to John about calling the Pharisees vipers as if he thought that he was out of line, jinking Jesus here. But
right.
The real Jesus didn't think that because he did the same thing. He called
right.
them vipers.
Right.
A few times he
right.
went in on the Pharisees. So
listen,
Jesus wouldn't be concerned about hurting their feelings.
Again, how many times have we said that this guy has not read the Gospels? Because had he read the Gospels, he would have known that Jesus did it himself.
Right? Uh-huh.
So John here is the lunatic. John is the one, you know, who's flying off the handle. John is the one who is rude and disrespectful. And, of course, Jesus is just dragging his feet.
Right.
You know.
And did John the Baptist low-key, based on 21st century sensibilities, disparage David like as being a pedo or pervert or something? He made the point of saying how he died with the young girl in his bed.
Right.
And then Jesus
again.
Is like, well, maybe that wasn't the best analogy. But,
right.
you know, but Jesus is, according to Scripture, the Bible refers to him as the root of David, the root of Jesse, to show that how he came through the line of King David.
Listen.
So why would
again,
the Lord allow John the Baptist to say something like that and just kind of pass it off?
I think in a very subtle way, he's talking to his Mormon crowd. Those old Mormon men, they like to take those young girls and turn them into brides. And, of course,
right. That's
not what the Bible says. David never knew the young lady.
Exactly.
But again, why introduce this into the conversation? See, you create big problems when you take lines like that and you make them part of the narrative.
Right.
Because we're talking about it. See, trust me, we're not the only people talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
There are others. So he's
and
just shooting himself in the foot.
And the people that may go back and look at that in the Bible, they may find that scripture, or they may be familiar with the story, but now that they've been poisoned with this conversation in The Chosen, how are they going to look at it from that point on? And since the Lord, the God the Father, intentionally had Jesus come through the line of King David, how is somebody supposed to look at David and then now the Lord when they hear this type of talk?
Right. Or even think about this. Think about the old men now that will use it as an excuse. I'm old, I'm cold.
Well, you know they love to use David and some of his indiscretions as an excuse for theirs.
Right. So, yeah.
But even though this was not one of them, but you know.
Right. Well, the way it sounds here, it's you see, you're sowing the seed in somebody's mind that it is.
Okay. Yeah.
And see, so. Yeah, this is just bad storytelling. Just bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said take the whole thing and just throw it in the garbage.
Right. We're nitpicking here, you know, as always. But, yes, the whole, in a nutshell, this is trash.
I wouldn't want my daughters listening to that.
No,
I don't want them listening to that. That'll confuse them. That confuses kids. Wait a minute. A young girl in an old man's bed?
Because we're looking at it through today's sensibilities.
Exactly. See, and think about this. Remember we talked about one time, maybe it was you or Sister Marie, we talked about that pastor in Harlem, David, what's his name? David Manning, right? And there was a tape out there of David Manning, and he had a 14-year-old girl in his car,
mm-hmm.
14 or 16-year-old, and he was talking to her about how he wanted her to be his Valentine. That's out
right.
there on the internet.
I think that was Sister Marie, but I remember hearing that.
Okay, so here's a guy who's almost... He's in his 70s, going on his 80s, and he's talking to a 16-year-old in his car. Now, the 16-year-old knows that he's married because when she comes to church, his wife sits right next to him in church.
Right.
And here's this old, dirty old man telling this 16-year-old from his Christian academy, I want you to be my Valentine's, and I'm going to get you a debit card, and I'm going to put money in there for you, and this way, you know, whatever you need to get for yourself. He's your sugar daddy, girl. He wants to be your sugar daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and young girls will hear, wait a minute. David, King David, the man of God, he had a young girl with him? See, and that's how these preachers, you know, Eddie Long in the book, what's the name of that book, which I don't recommend anybody get.
That book Centino, that one of the victims wrote, yeah.
Right, Centino Kemp wrote a book, First Lady, right? And Centino Kemp says that in the book, the way that Bishop Long would con these boys into homosexual activity was he would do a marriage ceremony with them.
Yeah.
And he would take them into his hotel room and have some candles, and he would have a tuxedo for the guy and a tuxedo for himself, and then he Eddie Long would act as the minister and put a ring on the kid's finger and say, "Now we're now it's okay. Now we can do it because I married you spiritually." See, these guys are slick. They can take Bible verses and they can twist it and manipulate it, and these young minds can get conned.
Yes.
And that was just a bad scene. Because I'm thinking
Absolutely.
About in the Mormon church how they take these young girls, 10, 11, 12 years old, and they force them into marriage.
That's right. With older men, for sure.
That, absolutely. No, this is, listen. No, it's another reason why you don't want your kids or anybody watching this garbage.
Yep.
And like you said, he's putting it in the 21st century context. That's the whole problem,
right.
See? That's the problem right there. Oh, this guy is sneaky. I got to tell you, he's sneaky like a serpent.
Yeah, the subtlety of the serpent.
Yep, he's very sneaky. Okay. Okay, now we have a scene with that Roman official who was supposed to stop the assassination is looking for Simon, I guess, and he's tracking
yes,
him
he's
down
still
in the
tracking
campfire.
Him.
Yeah. And now we switch to another scene where Mary Magdalene is coming now to the young lady who has joined the team.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
How is it? Hard work. How old were you when you learned it?
I was young. I think it's easier when you're a child, but I had a better teacher than you. I'm sorry about before.
Sorry about it.
I just feel, I don't know, I saw a Roman on horseback today when I was picking persimmons.
Did he question you?
No. He didn't even see me.
Oh, that's that PTSD stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
PTSD.
Yeah.
And she was triggered when she saw the Roman soldier. But she's going to get triggered again coming up.
Right. I'm starting to have that. I'm starting to suffer that now. Every time my wife tells me I have to walk the two puppies when they have to go outside and do their business, I get that too. I tell you. I start getting that and, you know, I start shaking and sweating and, yeah. Maybe I can ask the doctor to give me a note to tell my wife I can't do that anymore.
I don't think that's going to work.
Let's see.
But just the sight of him made me, filled me with, I just dropped my basket and ran. Totally ignored the prayers in my hands.
This is heart, not just that he thinks.
And listen, we're not making fun of that. We understand
right.
that there are people that really suffer from that. But again, he's taking that concept, which is a today concept, and putting it in the 21st century.
Right. And we have no way of knowing that Mary Magdalene ever suffered from that or even dealt with the type of trauma that Dallas is showing in this series.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She definitely had had some things going on with her for sure, but we don't know if the way Dallas tells the story is the way it was.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, this is just. And the other point that you made last week was, you know, if Jesus healed you, how could you still have problems? Right?
Right. It's and the reason I say that is because it doesn't appear from the few times in the Bible that Mary Magdalene is mentioned, it doesn't look like she was having any more problems after Jesus healed her and cast out the demons.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Again, this is just bizarre. But, I mean, Dallas is a bizarre guy. He's just bizarre.
He is.
Yeah.
Do you want to try again?
Rama. 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 Are you okay? Any closer.
Stop.
Mary. Lilith.
I don't answer to that name.
They told me about you.
Did they?
All 7 of them.
My name is Mary. It was always Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah!
It's all right. Welcome back. I know. It seemed like it would never end. What is your name? Well, it's over now. Let's get up, Caleb.
All right, so let's break this down.
Okay.
Where do we begin with this mess?
Oh, man. Well, first, you know, Mary is having some issues already because of the Roman soldier, and she's sitting there with the young lady she's tutoring, and she starts like she's having a headache or something, like she can sense something that's going on. And then all of a sudden they hear the guy screaming, and then this demoniac runs into the camp and he starts saying all kinds of slick stuff to Mary Magdalene about her past. And what I'm trying to figure out is as if, I mean, I guess you would say the demons recognized her or something, but wouldn't it be that it's like she had something going on inside her too that, I don't know, it was weird. And so then all of a sudden she starts confronting the demon using Jesus's words when he confronted the demoniac. Now, this is kind of sort of an adaptation of Legion, because he says, I'm the fourth knight of the something or other of Legion. You know, it's like, so he's trying to play on that, and I'm like, well, where's the herd of pigs that the demon went into? And I mean, this, so he took that story, but he had Mary confronting the demon and not the Lord. And then eventually the Lord runs in and casts the demon out. And then John is like, yes, you finally acting like the Messiah.
Right,
you know,
right.
So this I can't, every time I've had to look at this scene, I just put my head in my hands. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. So what say you, brother?
Again, Mary Magdalene fails in a kind of exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus comes on the scene. He does it. And then at the end, Mary Magdalene grabs her bag and she seems to be running away.
Right.
So, again, none of this happened. John the Baptist was never in the company of Jesus that we know of, where he saw Jesus perform an exorcism.
Right.
All of this whole thing is just made up.
And he had Simon the Zealot come in and try to confront the guy physically, and he got whooped. I forgot that part.
Right. So that's like you take a bunch of Bible names and a Bible chapter and just put it all in a box and just shake the box up, and just whatever comes out of the box, that's how you do your story. That's what he did here. This is a mess.
Yes.
And like you said, so, Mary Magdalene has some major issues. Now, of course, in the Gospels, once Jesus set her free, there are no more issues. But
right.
Here she's got lingering side effects, which means that whenever Jesus does something, he pretty much does it like Todd White, or this Jesus, where Todd White will tell you you're healed and 3 days later you're back on your diabetes medication.
Right, because it's almost like because this demoniac showed up, these demons began to be awakened in Mary again or something, and I'm like, but did Jesus cast them out?
He cast them out. He cast them out. So this is just, I'm sitting here, I'm saying, what? What? What is this? And amazing, amazing, amazing. All right, let's see. Now Simon is dumbfounded. He's on the ground, having dropped the knife or the knife taken from him from by the demoniac. So let's see what how this ends.
Okay.
When did you pick up the zealot?
I'm John.
Who are you?
Simon.
Yes?
I'll stop you there. They're both Simons.
Did you heal my brother in Jerusalem, Rabbi?
Yes.
Then you are...
Yes.
And where are your...
They're right here. Up here are some warriors you pictured by my side when you were in the catacombs. And there are more, not here at the moment. Go for a walk, Simon, son of Zebulun. Boys, tend his wound. Thomas, some food for him. Rema, check on Mary, please.
So wait a minute. The demoniac gets the demons healed from him, but now he needs help because he's limping.
Right. Yeah, I see that. But the biblical account makes it seem like the demons were cast out and he was healed, because when the people from the town came out to see what was going on, they said they found him sitting at Jesus' feet clothed and in his right mind.
Right.
Didn't say he was still limping around because he'd been naked before then.
Right. Here's the thing. I mean, if I bring you my car because it needs an oil change and you check it and you know it needs spark plugs, why would you let me go on the road just with an oil change? Why not fix the spark plugs too? I mean, so Jesus casts out the demons but leaves them limping. Does that make any sense?
No.
I mean, this Jesus is missing stuff. Jesus, get with it.
Yes, he is. Maybe need John to help him out some more.
Wow. This is crazy.
Mm.
This is crazy. All right, let's see now. We're here now. I think they're meeting or they're having words with the guy who commissioned Simon to assassinate the Roman soldier. I think that's where we're going next.
We need to update a report submitted last week about a man who performed a miracle on Shabbat and then told the healed person to commit a sin, and to file an addendum linking this report to my original petition.
Wait. Slow down. What changed about your report?
We have a name. The offender is known. The petition is in regards to an incident in Capernaum in which one Jesus of Nazareth performed a similar miracle and declared the authority to forgive sins, essentially claiming...
Ah, yes. I know about this case. It was escalated to Sanhedrin, and the beginning stages of a formal inquiry were commenced. I processed the paperwork.
That inquiry must be updated with what happened at the Bethesda Pool. We have significant evidence it was the same person.
That inquiry was closed.
What?
It never advanced beyond opening arguments.
Why not?
Those things are confidential.
But this is a huge development. The inquiry must be reopened.
That doesn't happen.
Why?
All I could tell you is that a very prominent member of the Sanhedrin declared it a one-off incident by a rogue who posed no material threat. No further questions were asked. Then none will be.
So you mean to tell me that Nicodemus buried evidence? Is that...
I guess. But these are the two, are the Pharisees, that the one of them is the guy that was the student of Nicodemus, and I guess they're,
they
saw the thing where Jesus broke the Sabbath and the pool of Bethesda, so now they're going to try to get things going to go after him. I guess this is what this is.
Right. All right. I didn't get that scene. I don't know what that scene. That's again. What
more,
was it? 3 minutes or
unnecessary stuff?
Yeah, just, you know. I guess he's trying to keep the actors happy by giving them minutes on the screen.
Up intrigue, and as the plot thickens, and Jesus' enemies are starting to notice him more.
Yeah, boy. The plot is thickening. Yeah. Okay.
Teacher. Wordsmithing. He said he would not oppose the petition itself, but he never said anything about what he would do if the case actually reached the Sanhedrin.
Nicodemus has influence, but he's not Caiaphas. Not even close.
He closed the inquiry before it even got past opening remarks, and no one challenged him. You don't call that power...
I know some people above his station who may see things more clearly, especially with this most recent development of violating Shabbat. This way.
Why Jesse? Why my brother out of everyone? The man suffered unspeakably for 38 years. It's a long time. And how else could I get your attention?
My attention?
Your order trained you to be fearless, no?
No Lord but God, to the death.
What I did with your brother, it's not the last of the trouble I intend to cause.
You are Messiah, aren't you?
Yes.
Then I will do anything you ask.
I ask you to understand the nature of my mission, Simon.
Yes.
How indeed? It's not so easy with distracted humans, hmm?
I have trained for years for this. I am ready to execute your mission today.
We'll see. Show me your weapon. Impressive. That is something. Didn't see that coming.
You have no use for that?
I have a better sword. You'll see. We have much to discuss. Just be patient. You've had quite a week.
Without my secret dagger, why do you need someone like me?
I have everything I need. But I wanted you.
Why?
You're not alone in misunderstanding. But not to worry. I'm preparing something to share with the world. For now, wanting you by my side will have to be enough. No one buys their way into our group because of special skills, Simon.
Rabbi.
Yes, Simon.
After what you did at the pool during a high holy feast day,
There may be some who might try to stop you. Even some from my former order, especially if they find out you have a different mission.
And what are you going to do? Stop them?
Well, I would be more likely to if you hadn't thrown my secret dagger in the river.
Well, if that day comes, I guess we'll find out.
Wow. I tell you.
That was Dink and Jesus with Simon the Zealot having a private conversation on why they Simon wanted to know, did you heal my brother? Are you the Messiah? And then why do you want me, sort of thing.
Wow.
Then he threw his Jesus threw his dagger in the river, and I guess this is just me being silly, but I saw some sheep over there in the background. You don't think demons went out of the demoniac into them, do you? Because there's no swine around.
What a mess. What a mess. This is wow. This guy's imagination really runs wild.
Yes, it does.
There have been some adaptations of certain movies, and I've watched different things with different family members, and they said, "Oh, I read the book, and the movie's nothing like the book." But it's okay;
right.
It didn't deviate that badly. You know, it didn't go. You know, it didn't. But this is bad. This is like
horrible.
Everything is turned upside down. Everything.
Yeah, this is horrible.
I'm thinking that pretty soon Jesus is going to meet Rocket Raccoon and Groot from the Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, why not?
Anything goes when you're just making stuff up.
That's it. I think Rocket Raccoon needs saving. So, Wow, this is bad. This is really, really, really bad. And again, this is why we tell people stay away from this show. Stay away. It is manipulating the Bible, twisting the Bible. And there's no value in this.
Not at all. I mean, is it just me or are things getting progressively worse with this show? The further we go, the worse it gets.
No, this is just horrible. All right, let's see what else is left in this show. So the tracker saw what Jesus did, and he pulls the secret dagger out of the water.
Right.
So I guess the tracker now is intrigued by the miraculous powers of Jesus to heal a brother from lameness, and to also heal a brother's heart and remove the anger from it.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. So now we have a scene here. There's a scene of a road. Let's see where this leads.
Oh,
Okay, so this is Mary Magdalene. She's walking and crying. But here comes a Roman soldier on horseback.
Right.
Serve women here.
How cruel that someone is here to see us.
Did someone put you
up
to this?
Control.
Come on. You seem like a nice girl. It's late. Go home. Okay. Who should I say wants to see you?
Tell them someone from the Hammer wants to win back her money.
Well, you obviously know which button to push with Roe. Wait here.
So what, Mary Magdalene now is imitating Paula White?
She's going back to her old bar hopping ways, yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Explain this to us. Sister AJ, give me, tell me where this guy
is
going.
Well, your guess is good as mine because geographically, I don't even know where they are. It seemed like Mary's just found this countryside town to go to, but then she goes to this bar and seems to know the owner there because she's engaging with the guy at the door, and then she names some names, and so now he's going to go get the owner, and she'll go in and start hanging out. I mean, I think that he's trying to show that it's possible that people can be saved and love the Lord, but then slide back. And in fact, Dallas got some criticism about this episode. And we're going to listen to his response video. If not today, we'll get to it next week.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, all right. Let's see what else we can squeeze out of this broadcast.
So you're really going for it.
You know I can't be silent.
I know. Soon I will break my own silence as well.
Soon? Such a strange word, soon. Could mean anything.
I love you.
Thank you for letting me see that. I heard about the miracles, but I never thought I'd actually get to see one.
Well, timing is everything, I guess. John, what you are about to do?
I've lived my whole life with warnings. Warnings are how I know I'm on the right track.
It's not a warning. You're doing what you're supposed to do. I'm just reminding you to be sure to listen to God's voice as you do it.
Always.
An appeal is pointless. Nicodemus is too powerful.
Okay, so the spy who found the blade or the dagger is still following Jesus and Simon around, and then I guess he saw Jesus saying goodbye to John the Baptist, so now he thinks that John the Baptist is a revolutionary, Jesus is a revolutionary, they're meeting with Simon, so they must be plotting something against the Romans. That's how convoluted it is, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I'm not that stupid. I can follow a little bit.
Okay. Oh, it's tough, though.
It's tough. Okay, so now they're back. Now the Pharisees are back trying to get this this case against Jesus restarted again. That's where we're
right
at now. Okay.
It's not an appeal. What Sanhedrin member would take up our fight against a fellow member?
Your thinking is too small.
So what then? Go to Caiaphas directly?
Shmuel, there are two schools of Mishnaic thought.
Hillel and Shammai, of course. But what does that have to do?
And when there is an issue presented to the Sanhedrin that could be interpreted two ways, the court splits. There's still a rube. When the court splits along Mishnaic traditions, it becomes political. Former allies become enemies.
We can turn people against Nicodemus.
Maybe. But the right issues, especially those that appeal to emotion, can be political gold.
False prophecy is a moral imperative.
To you. And if we can make it emotional as well, you may find we don't even have to seek those who oppose Nicodemus. Nicodemus himself may have a change of heart.
What do we have to do?
Most Sanhedrin members follow the teachings of who?
Shammai.
Exactly.
Ah, and he's the most rigid interpreter of doctrine the Sanhedrin has known. This is exactly...
Now you're learning.
You can get this to him?
That's not the hard part. The hard part is getting him to make it a priority.
But if he understands the crime...
It's got no political weight. Here's what's important to Shammai right now. He's in a dogfight with Sanhedrin President Shimon, the son of Hillel, who is
the more tolerant teacher, Shammai's opposite school of thought.
Shammai has the votes in the Sanhedrin,
yes.
But Shimon has the common people, because he's Hillel's son.
Shammai wants the people.
And Shimon wants the votes. If we could offer Shimon a way to beat Shammai at his own rigid game.
We pitch the school of Hillel against the school of Shammai. Politics. So you're writing a letter to Shimon?
Shimon is too busy to read our letter. His personal scribe, however, is an old friend. He will have the time and Shimon's ear when the opportunity comes.
Jesse gave us so little information.
It's not entirely his fault. The man vanished after the miracle.
That's his pattern. Nicodemus himself was struck by the same curiosity. He performs miracles discreetly and vanishes.
What else do you remember from Capernaum?
A woman on the roof, an Ethiopian, who referred to an incident with a leper outside the city. I can go back to Capernaum and look for her.
Excellent. If the case is reopened, it will have the full weight of the Sanhedrin behind it. There can't be too many Ethiopian women in Galilee and backwater towns.
It's my home. Cousin.
He said he was going to see his cousin.
Jesse wasn't clear on that detail.
But it's something. We can search the census records for relations. The population of Nazareth is so small, he will be easy to find. We can identify his father, mother, and the relatives. This is the census year.
The numbers aren't in yet. How old did he seem?
30s, early 40s. He must have been old enough to have been counted in that last census.
Check on it yourself. Don't draw attention. In the meantime, we need to recreate the events. Shammai, Shimon, Shmuel. Our people really need a better variety of names.
So, more political baloney that never happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Intrigue.
Again, did you find any of that interesting? Was it appealing? Was it, did he spin a good yarn? Not really.
Right.
It was nothing. It was, that whole scene was uneventful. Didn't add anything.
Yeah,
you
could take a little bit of a snooze during that scene.
Yeah. All right, let me get a few more minutes in here.
Sorry for the delay.
Yes, like you said, I look like a nice girl. How could you have known? Jethro?
Lily!
You were bad. I thought you were dead or something.
Mm. Oh, but you look amazing. Somebody kill me.
Hey, look, I'm here for one thing, and I've got money this time. I can pay for it myself.
Come. It's a nice little group. You will like them. Come on. This is Thomas. He overthinks things all the time, but he's growing on me.
Hi, I'm Simon.
That's Nathaniel. He says the first thing that comes to his mind, so don't be offended.
I'm Simon.
This is Rayma. She's an expert vintner. So any question you have about wine, just see her.
I'm Simon.
She knows. The only other woman we have... Where's Mary?
I spoke to her earlier. I haven't seen her since.
Salt preserves from corruption. If it loses its saltiness, it doesn't...
Okay, so let's break down that scene that we just saw there. Just please help me.
Well, they're just, Simon Peter is introducing Simon the Zealot to the rest of the group, and then they figure out Mary is missing, so they're asking about that. And then this part, the part where you just stopped it, is Jesus allegedly practicing the Sermon on the Mount. So that's what you're getting ready to see, to hear.
Right.
I can't help but laugh.
Here's two things. Here's two things. The group is so, first of all, okay. The group is so small, how could you be missing somebody?
And not notice, because it was daylight when Mary kind of snuck off, and now it's dark.
Right. Look, listen to me. If my wife told me, okay, I got to go out and do something, you know, you got the kids, okay, and she comes back and one of them's missing, boy, I'm in trouble. It's not like she left me with, 50 people.
Right.
It's a handful, right? And so how could you not know all these hours later? Because remember, They're on a campsite. They got these little tents, and how could you lose somebody? That's number one. Number two, we know none of that ever happened because there were no women in Jesus' group.
Absolutely.
Right, but okay. Let's give Dallas the benefit. Let's just say, okay, Jesus had some women. the group is so small, how can you not know that one of the two women in your group is missing? How could you not know that?
I don't know.
And in this thing here where Jesus is practicing the sermon, listen, Jesus ain't me or you.
Exactly. Jesus flowed right into the Sermon on the Mount. He healed multitudes, and he went right on into the Sermon on the Mount. But here he's practicing. That's why he needs all the solitude that John was asking about.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is so stupid.
He's like Joel Osteen who goes into hiding Sunday evening and doesn't come out the Tuesday or Wednesday because he's writing his sermons or something like that, Joel said.
Wow. This is bad. Okay, let's squeeze in a few more seconds here.
Do what it is. No.
What? Jesus made a mistake? What? Jesus said
according
no, that's
Dallas.
Not the way it goes? Wow.
Yep.
Oh no, we have to give this coming up at the little church that I pastor coming up, you're gonna have the Passion Week, right? So I got a
mm-hmm.
few people, and I got each of them doing one of the words of Jesus on the cross.
Right.
You know every Good Friday they always do that kind of service in the church where, okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I gave them what they were going to be preaching, they got so scared. And then one of them said to me last Sunday, come here, let me show you what I'm doing. And he was doing this, right? And then he says, no, that's not the way. That's not the way. And listen, each one's got 5 minutes because, you got 7 words.
Right.
So all you got is 5, and that's what, no, Jesus didn't do that. I'll do that. You'll do that. They'll do that, but not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
This is bad. This is bad. And listen, this is season what, 2? And he's got how many
yes.
seasons planned? How many seasons does this guy have planned?
7 or 8.
A total?
A total? Yeah. At least 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It's already bad in season 2.
Right.
You know,
it's like that plumb line. It's like the plumb line. If you don't run the plumb line, your whole wall is going to be crooked and it's already off course.
Wow. This is horrible. This is horrible. All right. We stopped it. We stopped it, where Jesus is flubbing, where he's making mistakes.
okay.
Wow. Wow. Okay, that's where we stopped it. You got the last word, my sister. We're out of time. Great show, as always, and we'll come back next week and deal with this. And don't forget, Saints, tomorrow at 12 noon, Sister Marie will be on the air at 12 noon, not at 1 o'clock.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening once again, and we'll see you next time. Have a good rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.